Before we get started, let me just make sure I have no surprises today. No one left me nothing. Gosh darn it. if you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12. If you're visiting today, my name is Jody May. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Bill, who started off our day, is the other pastor. We'd love to meet you if you're visiting. Make sure you stop by and just shake our hand and let us know that you're stopping by. If you ever need a Bible while you're here, too, we keep extra Bibles up here up front. If you don't have a Bible at your home, please feel free to take that home with you. I want to make sure God's Word is in your hands. This morning, if you are visiting, you have not been with us for a while, I do want to kind of fill you in. We are preaching through the book of Luke. And over, this is a third week in chapter 12 of the book of Luke, and we're kind of been covering a theme. So we are ending like a three-week kind of mini-series here. And it's on the topic of living, or trying to, or at least knowing that it's there, an anxiety-free life. Now, how many of y'all would like that one, right? All right, so anxiety is that type of thing where it's, people describe it different all the time because no one really knows, like, what is it? Like, people feel, like, worry, and they think it's anxiety. I think, what I believe to be, anxiety is an accumulation of multiple effects, spirit, heart, and physical. And what happens when you experience anxiety is you're usually experiencing a combination of those. Does that make sense? So like, for instance, you're worried about tomorrow at work and you have some things waiting for you, maybe an unpleasant conversation. So in your soul tonight, maybe you'll have a hard time finding peace in God, knowing that he's there already. And in your heart tonight, you're going to be upset and a little bit angry because someone maybe said some things about you at work that you're not real pleasant with. And then also, as a part of that, you're going to have a hard time sleeping. Do you see that? So anxiety is accumulation of multiple effects in your spirit, in your heart, and in your physicalness that affects your life, right? And so I say all that to say it's hard to be... to know in such a way that I'm not supposed to be anxiety-driven, although sometimes it's an effect that's hard to control, correct? But there are things that we can do as God's people, because God doesn't want us to live like that, that can have effect on our anxiety, or at least the levels of it, right? I think we see enough in the Bible that worry is a part of your life, but should it run away with you is the thing that we're talking about today. All right, so that's kind of where we're going. I'm going to save the rest for my introduction, but in the introduction today, I'm going to quickly review those previous 2 weeks and how it all fits together, okay? So again, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 this morning. I'm going to cover what Mike went through last week, reread that because it all fits together today. To get us caught up, because I'll also be referencing that some in the preaching of this text today. But the main text that we're going to preach through today is actually verses 32 through 34, which holds our main verse for this little mini-series here. So, let's begin in verse 22 this morning of God's Word. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is God's infallible, inerrant word. Let us pray and thank him for it. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day, that we can still, as a people, come to worship in a place together and know that your will is provided for us, that we can know how you feel about us, that we can understand, Lord, that while we may experience anxiety in this life, it is not thy will to use it as punishment against us so that we are not living fully in the kingdom. Lord Jesus, we need thy help today, that you would help us to see what it is that the warning here in this text that you have for us, as it connects even with coveting and builds up more anxiety in our life. And will you please send the Spirit, so Holy Spirit, that you would set us free. Help our eyes to see the truth, our ears to take in what we're hearing, so that we may leave here changed today. All for thy glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, as we continue on today, real quick in review. Week 1 in this little series built into Luke chapter 12 here, Jesus started off a while back, right before this little section here, on the sin of coveting. Do you remember that? I talked about that 2 weeks ago, right before Mike. And in that verse 15 of chapter 12, here's how Jesus kind of summed this up. He said, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, or desiring that which God has not given you, outside of his will for your life. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions, right? We all would agree, even though we like abundance of possessions. We all talked about that last time. So, and where we ended with that is that we said that coveting produces meaninglessness. The pursuit of the abundance of your possessions in the end will leave you flat. And that in it, it's a dead end to your life, but following Christ produces an eternal life. In that, the support from John 10:28, as Jesus said himself, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen? This is life. This is life worth living. And we should be aware that as we enter into the topic of living anxiety-free, which I think we always say, I need me some more of that, Pastor Jody, right? I mean, and I've I'm going to share with you a story in a few minutes of how it's even captured me sometimes, right? But Jesus is making here a connection, because all these verses go together, between coveting worldly possessions, or that which the world can offer, and living a life filled with anxiety. And maybe you've put that together by now, but it's just common sense. The more that you go after what the world can offer, guess what rises on the other end? Your anxiety. There's an issue here, and Jesus, being who he is, understands that. And that's seen in the verse today by how he ends the discussion in verse 33. He says, by what you are to do with your possessions. In verse 33 today, when we read it, he tells us, get rid of it. Get rid of them. Sell it. Get to the needy. Whatever you got to do, just be done with it. Okay, he says, for where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That's representation of God's kingdom. We're going to explain that and open that up today to put your treasure there. And then week 2, Mike graciously came on because we were doing some planning, some business procedures for the church. And Mike came on and he started off with this topic of anxiety-free living. And last week, which begins to actually set us at odds with coveting, because we begin to make those connections. The more I covet, the more usually anxiety I'm beginning to have, right? And we do this, number one, Mike said, was to trust in God's sovereign reign over your life. You would see that in verses 22 through 29 when Jesus begins to explain, why are we worrying? Does not God take care of you? So we need to trust in his sovereign reign and how he's providing for you. Then as a positive movement towards having less anxiety in your life, right? Mike helped us to understand that we are to work at seeking the kingdom. Spend your time doing that. That's one of our core values, by the way, here at Highlands, is to seek God with everything you have, with every resource you have, which is one another as well. To seek him like that. That is how you begin to work on anxiety. Verse 31 read like this. Instead, Jesus said, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. You'll have what you need. And Mike gave us this helpful way of looking at the kingdom, in case that's an unfamiliar term. Maybe you're here today, and Actually, in Highlands, we talk a lot about kingdom and what is that vocabulary that the Bible uses a lot to understand what it is to be a Christian. And in this text this past week, Barsilia, right, is a word for kingdom. And it does not, how we would use it, it doesn't refer to a geographical area. But what it refers to is God's sovereign rule over one's life. So here's what we're saying. When you're living in the kingdom, you're living in God's rule. Does that make sense? Are we tracking with that? So, we are to seek out God's rule for our life, whereas where Mike was kind of landing the plane. Romans 14, verses 17 through 19 kind of spells it out for us, in case you're wondering. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you all want more of that today? Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. And then that brings us to this week, to the main verse of these past 3 weeks that I think holds Jesus' thought, the reason why he was talking about this. Verse 32. You ready? Fear not, little flock. And that little flock doesn't mean, oh, you precious little people. It means, oh, so few of you that believe this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, his desire, what he wants to do, to give you the kingdom or the rulership so that you flourish. Which, contrary to the fact, goes against what most people in America like, because they want to take God without his rulership. And what we see in Scripture is that is not how it works. God wants to give us rulership, reign, to bring you blessing. So in this final chunk of Scripture today, that leads us to an anxiety-free life. And how does one work with the Holy Spirit in trying to acquire that, or at least pursue that, or to understand how it works? So in the text, there are, I actually counted today in your bulletin, and I'm going to put my children on notice here because I want to hear all five when we're done. There are five lines. There's 5 points today, right? You can do it however you want. I'm just telling you, Bailey, you better have five. Okay, so there are five things that we, out of those five things, there's two things we got to surrender. There's two things we got to believe that help you surrender. And when you put those together, there's going to be one point of application at the end that I think will help us all. Does that make sense? Two things to surrender, two things to believe. It's going to bring us to one point of application today. So that's your five things. So we'll have them on the screen for you today, all right? So here's number one that we're going to talk about today that's in the text. First thing that we need to surrender is this. We are called not to fear. We are called not to fear. Now, in your heart, you should already be aware, I have an issue with that. Because many of us, myself included, we respond to emotion. And what's one of your most powerful emotions? Fear. But the Bible says, hold on a second, you're not to do that. You're not to do that. Again, today in verse 32, it starts out, Jesus in his main point for all of this is, fear not, little flock. And what he's doing is he's summing it up from where we've gone with anxiety, because he's surrounded this whole discussion with fear. In verse 22, when he begins his talk about anxiousness, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious, fearful in your heart about your life or what you will eat, nor about your body or what you will put on. And then in 29, when he ends that conversation that where Mike was last week, he says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be what? Worried. Do you see how he's addressing fear? And in that, if I can remind you about covetousness, in the text, while it doesn't use the word, he talks about how the man was looking at all his grain and how he was going to store it, and in reaction to what he was feeling, he built bigger barns. There was fear in his life. So fear is one of the main components that keep us from experiencing God's sovereign rule and having anxiety free. So in that fear, let me talk about fear a little bit here. Fear is a natural reaction. Let me say it again. Fear is a natural reaction. If you were out walking with your family and a dog with foaming mouth came up in front of you and started growling, would you be happy? You would be what? Fearful. And that's smart, because your body's telling you, run. Do something about that. Fear is not something you can naturally just control and never be fearful about anything, because it's a reaction. It's a natural part of what you do. Therefore, watch this. Fear is not naturally a sin. Scripture doesn't say that. Fear is not a natural sin. And just like anger, though, if we let it run away in our lives, we usually sin, though, under its influence. If you're not careful and mindful about your fear, you will make decisions based out of fear. How many of you all done that this year? Right? So don't let it run away with you, but it's not necessarily a sin. It's a tool. Fear like anger is just a notifier that something's going on in your heart to take note so that there's something deeper there going on inside of you. With that being said, the Bible's clear on how we should deal with it, though. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes this, "For God gave us a spirit not of what? Fear, but of power and love and of self-control," saying, you're going to have it, you're going to have to deal with it, here's what we do. Okay? So the way to deal with fear is not to give in and react to it automatically under its control, but to push through and act in the power of God, in love and in self-control. Fear is what made the rich man tear down those barns in fear so he would not, because he wouldn't have enough space to store up all his good stuff, all his possessions. So obeying fear put him at odds of doing what was right in that instance. So let's admit it. Fear, though, is hard to control, amen? Because many times it's associated, here's what I was thinking about this week, it's associated with a memory of pain. How many of y'all are afraid of dogs? Probably, I'm not, because you got bit one time. So what do you associate when you see a dog? Pain. Last week, I had to go back to the skin doctor. As you see, I'm not wearing my Band-Aid this week, right? I got my stitches out. I was okay. Thank you for praying for that, right? Those of you visiting, this was like my fourth little cancer surgery on my nose. I'm trying to work toward getting a new nose over a small payment plan. So, and like I told you, every time I do it, they tend to pull the skin, so I'm getting a slowly eye lift tuck. So as I do it, but I had an infection a week and a half ago, right? My face swelled up last weekend. I had to go in, and we had a business thing we had to do this past week. I was busy, and I'm looking at it Tuesday going, this is not right. We had lunch, breakfast together, my wife and I, and said, I got to go in. I got to get him to look at this because this is not, I don't feel good. My body was, starting to feel fever, right? And I called, kind of going, maybe they'll get me in this afternoon. They're like, no, Mr. May, you got to come in right away. I was like, oh, crap. You know, when they say, doctor tells you that, you're like, oh, man, right? So I go to the office, and I'm sitting there, and they bring me to the office, and in that moment, I know, I'm fearful. And do you know why? Because my face hurts. And this is not the first time I've gone through this, right? It's not my first rodeo. And what I'm remembering is because this particular surgery, I don't want to get into it. So anyways, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And in that, as I'm sitting there, I'm like going, Lord, I know, Lord, I'm supposed to set an example, but he ain't touching me. He's not poking on this. He's not putting in more stitches. He's not going to open this thing up and clean it out. He is not touching it. And then, I apologize. Sorry, Lord, I'm telling you what I'm doing. Right? I know I shouldn't do that. And, Lord, I'm here. Whatever happens, happens. But here's what I was experiencing. I don't have a lot of anxiety in my life, but I knew right at that moment I was having it. I knew I was having flashbacks. I knew I was dealing with a little bit of trauma, and I was in pain. And there was nothing I could do to turn my heartbeat down. I couldn't do it. It was impossible. So in that moment, though, what I could do is this. I prayed. I said, Lord, I know that what I'm feeling, I know why I'm feeling this way. I know, Lord, that I won't punch the doctor when he comes in if he touches me, even though I want to, right? I'm going to control that, and I need you to help me. And while I was praying with him, I just practiced. God, yes, you can. Slow down your breathing. Control that, right? So here's what happened. The doctor comes in. Actually, his name's Dr. Hahn. If you need a skin doctor, I would refer. He's cool. He's a good guy. He comes in, and he walks up to me. They've taken the bandage. He's looking at it, and he doesn't even put his hands. He puts his hands behind his back, and he looks at it. He takes out his little eye thing. He looks at it. He goes, yeah, you got an infection. Here's your prescription. Give me a call in a couple days. It'll get better. And he walks out. And the sense of relief that I had in that moment was amazing. It's so weird how your body's so in tune with what you think, isn't it? Do you know how much your brain actually controls your body chemistry? That's why I always tell you, and you guys, you all know my counseling background. I always tell you, don't get caught up in your emotions. Your brain is doing a lot of stuff you're not aware of. And in that moment, my heart rate went, just because I got some news that was pleasant. So fear, my point in all that is to give you an example of, we have anxiety a lot of times because of fear, and fear, though, is hard to control because it's usually anger to a feeling. Does that make sense? A past experience of pain. Now, in that, I could say right now, I could stop and go, like, so therefore, don't go fearing, right? And we're going to fail again at that today. Can I tell you the gospel this morning? You know, our Lord, because fear is not a sin, had experiences of great stress, fearful anxiety. You read about it. We'll read about it one day in Luke, where he's in the garden, and he's so under stress by his body that he begins to sweat great drops of blood. And the night before his death, you have to understand that in his mind, what he's praying for is there's several things going on. As he's thinking about what God has called him to do, that he has spent his whole life under the suffering of people who knew him not, who loved not his father, who loved not him, and he was called to die for them. So he has trauma. And then living, because he lived in the flesh as the Son of Man, has experienced pain just like we do our whole lives. Cuts, bruises, breaks, possibly sickness. So he understands. I mean, don't ever think, well, he's God, he didn't know what pain was. No. He experienced everything just as we do so that he could associate with us. So when you pray to your great high priest, you can take heart. He knows exactly how you feel. And he knows, and he has endured fear, because at the end of that time, what did he pray? Let not my will, but thy will what? Be done. And the Spirit of God empowered him to go through those things. He didn't get off easy like I did. So for you and us, when we experience those times of fear, and yes, we may fail, and probably will leave here today, maybe making some decisions under that, the Lord has done that perfectly for us. So when we are afraid, don't be discouraged. But remember, your call is to endure through it. That's what the Lord is asking of us. You have a spirit of love, self-control, and power given to you by God to test your faith, to get through that, and to experience, as Mike said, God's sovereign reign, so that we can begin to break it free from anxiety. This brings us to our second thing today, that we're going to have to let go if you want to experience a little bit more anxiety-free living, is that we are called to surrender our earthly possessions. We are called to surrender our earthly possessions. Now, there's a lot of us, as you get older, that sounds really good, because there's probably a lot of us that have to do garage sales in the spring, don't we? It's just how life is, right? So I think we would probably be really appreciative of the Lord if he could show us how to do this. Verse 33, the Lord tells us this. He says, sell your possessions, those things that you think you own, and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, or with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. So this verse speaks to two things. One is that Luke is sharing a story, because remember, he's a historian that is building a case for Christ and why the ancient church should believe in him from eyewitnesses, people who knew the Lord, who saw these things. So in that, he's building the story of perception of how important Jesus thought it was not to be tied down with worldly things. In case you're wondering, well, that was someone's interpretation. No, he spoke to people that Jesus said, it is not good for you to be tied down to this physical world. That's what he believed. Especially in his day and time, when in fact, the usher of the kingdom of God was standing right in front of people, and people always had excuses why they couldn't do it. He believed that, right? And that is a recurring theme in Luke. We'll see that a lot. But also, secondly, what that does not mean is that we are off the hook, because that was then, this is now, for viewing our possessions in the same manner. This is timeless. Christians actively involved in the kingdom of God should be prepared to surrender their way of life. Notice I didn't say life automatically. I just said your way of how you like things. To provide for those in need, and not to be unencumbered by the things of this world. Look, I also want to point us to this word that they use here. Thesaurus is the word for treasure in the Greek. And what that is we use that word differently. When you look back at verse 33, Jesus says, you don't have to put it back on the screen. I'm just going to read it again. Provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. When we see the word treasure, we look at it as like we've been brought up in the age of the Pirates of the Caribbean. We think it's a box full of money, right? The way that the scripture describes the word treasure is that it's a empty box. It's a storehouse where you would put something. In the story of the covetousness, rich fool, right? What did he build was barns. That was his treasure. It's the place where you store these things. It's a building comparison here. Don't go building earthly barns to hold your stuff like the rich fool, but use your stuff. Here's what Jesus is warning about. Use your stuff to build barns in the next world. Let me paraphrase that. Here's the command in Scripture. Use what God gives you to build what God wants. Didn't he say it again? Use what God gives you to build what God wants. That is what we're talking about here. Notice that Jesus is not telling us to produce what you are putting into your treasuries. He doesn't say that, no. But he says, make sure you're putting those safe holds in an eternal place where they cannot be destroyed, where they can't be torn down. That's what he's saying. He's saying, where are your banks at? This Jesus is saying. See, in the world, here's what our world teaches us. They develop our banks. They develop things for us to hold our treasure, and then they tell us what we should be investing in. They tell us how much money you should have for retirement. They tell us how much you should have in a bank, and then they tell you how to spend it. All Jesus is saying is, make sure you got some. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to fill them up. We're always called, in our world, to worry about how you're investing. Jesus is the one that's going to start doing the investing and putting in your banks. Let me show you this. God always has a way of doing this. He fills them up. Luke 9, 23 through 24, the thing that we're going to see is that Jesus wants to verse his major investment, making sure that you're under kingdom rule. This is the place where you're putting your treasure box at. He wants to give you something right up front. Look at Luke 9, 23 through 24. If anyone would come after me, that means if anyone would put himself under my reign, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The first thing that Jesus wants to put here is your eternal soul. But he can't put it there unless you're starting to come underneath the reign of God. Anxiety-free living is kind of basic in its nature. Whom do you serve? You, the world, or the Lord? So we need to understand following Christ on mission is a start on the building a safe treasury places where the Lord can put into him. And one of the things that God deposits there is our eternal soul. There's also the promise of receiving more in this life than the life to come. Like you know, sometimes being reformed people, we don't like to talk about rewards, or we get turned off by talking about charismatic churches too much sometimes. And I'm not trying to, I'm just saying we don't like to talk about the things that God is going to reward you for living your life. But by the way, guys, that's biblical. It's biblical. God likes to reward his people. So let's talk about what that is. In Luke 18, beginning in verse 29, he says, truly I say to you, now I should give preference to this. What is he speaking to? The rich young ruler at this point, some of you know the story, comes up to the Lord and says, Lord Jesus, what rabbi, teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He says, I've done all the law. And he told him, and in that Jesus says, I could see that you're doing these things. And it says in the scripture, Jesus had compassion on him. He says, this is the last thing I tell you. Sell all you have and come follow me. And the rich young ruler could not do it. He was sad. It was a low moment for Christ in that point. And he could not follow the Lord because he could not give up his possessions. But in that, Peter walks up to him and goes, see, Lord, we have left it all behind. Luke 5, when Jesus called the disciples, they just dropped everything and went and followed him. So this is the response of Jesus to Peter at that point when what he just said. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Receive many more in this life. Now what those are open for debate. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God makes a deposit in our new treasure holds with new purposes and a better life in future eternity. God gives you what you're supposed to be doing in your life, finally. He gives you the satisfaction of understanding when you live your life, you're doing something for the kingdom's sake. Those are the things you get now. How many of us would give up all we had if we knew what you're supposed to do in your life? This is the reward of putting your treasury in the right place. Leave behind those desires to build up your earthly portfolio, your hope chest now, your bank accounts now, your photo albums now, your display cases in your house now, which you put your family stuff in. And instead, take that which you put so much effort into keeping for yourself and invest it in the kingdom work now. This is what the Bible calls us to do. Number three this morning, now we've gone to the two things we got to give up. We got to work on our fear, understanding that it's a connection. We fear because it's usually connected with pain. And we got to start giving up our possessions, because a lot of times we just get carried away in building up our portfolios here instead of being mindful of our storehouses in the kingdom. So here's the number three. We're going to go into two things that you're called to believe now that help you fight this. All right. So here's the first one. This comes from verse 32 again, these two things. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's, what's those two words right there? Good pleasure. I don't think we believe that. Many times I talk to people in the church, in and out, we do not believe that God is pleased to do things for his people. It's hard for us to accept. I do want to tell you this, that God does find his existence pleasurable. You know what happens a lot of times? We live our lives, we sin, we see things in our lives that we're not pleased with, and we project that unto the God of the universe, thinking there's no way that we could be happy with me. Yet, the Lord of the universe is not a slave to your behaviors. Did you know that? And he is pleased without your behavior, eternally pleased in the Trinity. And that is why he moves and acts on your behalf. You don't control God. God is not dependent on what you do. You can't make him feel a thing. But he has all the love in the world for you. There's peace in that, isn't it? There is something that he delights in doing here. He takes good pleasure in. If you're smart and believe in a God, that's probably why you're here today, right? And you believe in a God, it would be a good thing, a prudent thing, to understand what God likes to do, wouldn't it? Right? You worship God. I want to know what he likes to do. I want to be there where he's doing things, right? I want to understand that. And according to our main verse here, he likes to give us the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give us his rule over us, because that is how his people flourish. How many times in the Old Testament have we seen, as Mike was talking about today, people fought against those things and it was taken away. But here we are, God, that's always what God has want to do for us. That he desires not to withhold from us the best thing in the universe, his reign and all that it entails. He loves to love us. Psalm 84 explains what it looks like to be in God's kingdom or to be under his rule. Just a few verses here today. Verse 10, for a day in your courts, it used to be a song like this, is better than 1,000 elsewhere, right? Y'all know that song. We've sung it here before. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You should feel like that. For the Lord God is a sun. He lights up my life, and he's a shield, and he protects me from all things. The Lord bestows favors and honor. No good thing does he withhold. Listen to that. Can I read that again? No good thing does he withhold from you. For those who walk uprightly, and that's a key verse there. For those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen? This is a good thing, and it gets better. This promise even gets better, for we're not able to walk uprightly, are we? But we know the one who did for us. So we get this now. We have received the blessing of the new covenant. The Lord has walked uprightly so that we may have God's good favor in his reign now and experience eternal life. Where did I tell you, where does eternal life begin? Now. And it gets better. Without the intervention of Jesus' life and his love displayed, we wouldn't have this. But look how much God loves us. It is his good pleasure to do this for us. Romans 8:32. You want to know how much he delights in this? Listen to how crazy this sounds. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That was his pleasure. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Paul says the proof is in the pudding. It's right there. That kingdom comes with all things. And Paul assures us that it's not lip service, but that is a guarantee from the Father who gave us his Son as the way into the kingdom so that we could experience his love, his good reign, for it was his pleasure. We weren't required to give up our firstborn. That's what God did for us. To surrender his Son so that we may experience his rule. It is his pleasure to love us. Believe it. So God loves to share his glory through his kingdom, his reign. So by the praise of our lips and who he is, as we're talking today, who are we sharing with these people, these things of the kingdom? So that by the praise of our lips, the affections in our hearts, and a robust life of worship, all may see the greatness in which he has loved his children. That brings him pleasure. And it brings us to the fourth thing that we are called to believe this morning. We must believe, and this is hard, that God wants the best for you. Because oftentimes we're at odds with believing that, aren't we? Because of how we make our choices. Fear drives us to make quick choices because we want to go around pain. But a lot of times what helps you endure pain is to understand, but God wants my best. And I'm called right here, right now, in this time to endure this. Because he loves me. Do you believe that? That's why you need the church, by the way, because you'll oftentimes fail in that. You need someone to look at you and go, hold strong. You know this is good for you. Is living in the kingdom under his rule the best plan for you? You should know by now. You should say, yeah. You might not like it, but yeah. Is this truly the way to defeat anxiety and fear in your life? To trust him? To believe him? We brought this verse up today in our foundations class. Mike, so I'm going to get to read it and preach on it. Just a little here. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. You want to know what the best plan is for you? Let me read you the ultimate plan for your life. You ever want to know what you were designed to do? Here it goes. Blessed be the God and Father. That means happy he is to do this. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, because we can't control him. He chose to love us. You have a calling, don't you? Be his child and experience him. The kingdom comes with no holdbacks. Amen? Listen, you receive it with full benefits. I thought about this. How do we even compare this? Like, all of us in this room, we live in an age right now where all of us have different entertainment packages in our home. What I mean to say is some of you are, I watch YouTube now. Some of you are still on Comcast. Some of you are still on, well, I watch TV through DirecTV or well, whatever that is, right? Disney Plus or what, Netflix, whatever that is. And you know why we all have different things? Because there's different things that we like, but we don't really need that. And there's exclusions because if you want a bigger package, you got to pay a little bit more. Here is God's kingdom. When you enter into it, everything is yours. There is nothing God is going to withhold from you in this kingdom that you can't have. Pedro can have what Mike has. Mike can have what Brian has. And y'all get what everybody else gets in this room. There is no difference in that. There's different in abilities to do things for God's kingdom. That's a whole different thing. But the benefits of the kingdom are all ours to be shared. Remind each other of that. Remind someone of that today. Everything that makes you love God, and you get it and experience it in full, you will receive the same standing that Jesus has in front of his Father, which is most important in eternity, to be in front of a holy God, experiencing a depth of love and acceptance you have never known because you are blameless, because you have received Christ's righteousness. Everybody gets that. No more wrath. You are not viewed, listen to me, family, You are not viewed like a family member. No, because God created you to be his family. That's different, isn't it? That was determined before you ever came into existence to be his. You've always been his child before time when he determined to spare you from the wrath to come. He knew your name before your parents ever gave it. My family, you want to fight anxiety? Then believe that our God loves you and wants the best for you to be adopted into his reign. Put your hope in this. It will be better than you can imagine. And when at last you are reunited with the one that makes life worth living, you'll be able to praise him. And this brings us to number 5. How do we actually work on surrendering fear, surrendering possessions, believing he loves me, and believing he has what's best for me? How do I work on those things? And I think what it alludes to is what's for us in verse 34 as it wraps up, because this is a pretty famous verse, right? So here's the fifth thing I want to give to you today. I think it helps us, is practice anxiety-free living by sharing your treasure with others. Practice anxiety-free living by sharing your treasure with others. In our foundations class for adults, we kind of wrapped up with talking about, like, how do you do that, right? Verse 34 reads like this: for where your treasure is, so that is your storehouse. Remember, that's what that means. Not necessarily the pot of gold. It is the thing that holds your treasure is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The word for heart there is cardia, or like from cardiac, right? It's the heart. What it means is it's the center of your being. It's where all your core values exist, what you believe about everything, right in the middle of you. And that is what makes you move through life, the way you act toward people, the way you act toward life. This is what determines that. It's at your center. What makes you do the things you do every day? This is what it's talking about. So where you have built your storehouse, there your heart will be. That's what it's saying, because it will be at the center, Jesus is saying. And that, so in that, when you know that about someone, it will tell you, if you know that about yourself, it's going to tell you a lot about yourself, about what do you really believe? Do you believe that you're his child and you live under his reign, or don't you? Let me share with this in a story here as we get kind of ready to close. Next week is the anniversary of my parents' death. Both of them lost them in the same week. It's been 16 years since I've seen them. And I was remembering that this week because I was trying and sharing the story. I said I had to cry all week long before I get to this today so I could get through the story, right? So, but one of the things that I remember, and I talked to Heather about this the other day, was I remember some things a little bit more than you do sometimes, right? Because I remember watching it and God impressing it in my mind at that moment. Is when I brought Heather home, the first few times I brought Heather home to meet my parents. My mother, always a loving woman. Now, you all know, heard me talk about my mom before. I don't think she's a saint. But she was a God-fearer. And she followed the Lord. And she made sure I followed the Lord. If you ever raise your parents to sainthood or something wrong, by the way, okay? Because you'll have a hard time accepting them later on in life. All right? But in that, she would sit with my wife on her bed. She called Heather in the room, and she did this. You don't know this, but she did it multiple times, because I remember it. And she would share with Heather from her treasure, her earthly treasure boxes. She would pull out her jewelry, and she would go through it with Heather, going, my mother gave this to me. This is from this event here. This is how when Jody was born, James gave this to me as a ring. And she would share with Heather, and actually, the closer we got to being married, she actually gave Heather a lot of that jewelry, some of her earthly treasure. And in that, she would share with Heather the goofy pictures that Heather laughs at when she thinks about all the time of me, right, growing up. And Mom would share stories about the family and me. And when I look back at that, what my mother was doing, and I think it was providential, is that the Holy Spirit was letting my mom know, you don't have much time. You don't have years to spend with Heather. What would you want your son's wife to know about what you've lived and done in your life, and who is she marrying? Because guys, I was always, the more I thought about it, the more I was blown away, because I don't hear stories about someone's a boy's mom who is willing to share with her daughter-in-law all the secrets of her son because my mother had no fear of Heather coming between me and her. And she was able to share her treasure of all the things that she had done with me, all the years that my mother had prayed over me, all the years that she knew she was battling the evilness in my family, all the years that she took me to church when my father went, all the times that she had prayed over me, sweated over me, tried to lead me in the right ways, of all the work, because my mother knew this, that her kingdom work on this earth was loving people the best she can and trying to do the best she can with me, even though my dad wasn't, and making sure I was always involved in the work of the kingdom. And she was able to share that with you, her heart. And I think in that, not to glorify my mother, but to give credit to her, what God was doing in her heart and the ability of her to share, because in that, here's what I'm saying with that. When we become people at Highlands that will actually go to one another and not just share fears, because you know what you do when you share fears? You're looking for people to be empathetic with you instead of sharing with them your heart, which says, tell me how I'm wrong. Here's what I love most. Do you see things that I'm fearing too much? Here's my heart. Here's what I love most. Is there something you could call me out on that I'm making my possession instead of freely holding it loosely so God could use it? Here's my heart. Do you think I believe, truly believe that God loves me with everything, or am I acting differently? Here's my heart. Do I really believe that God has what's best for me, or do you see in my life that I'm trying to run the show still? When you can share with somebody what it is you truly treasure, then people can really know you. Which is why here at Highlands, we try to bring a big emphasis, whether it's through community or times together, potlucks, for biblical friendship, because you can't know someone's heart until you get comfortable with them, because it's only when you know someone's heart can you begin to speak the gospel to them. And you're able to say things easily like, you know, I think you're holding on too tight to this. Why don't you try letting that go? Oh, you know, you're right. But we've got to get to the point in our lives where I'm okay just sharing with you my heart. Because at the end, is it really my treasure? And therefore, your family, when they see your heart, they can either challenge you, or they can confirm in you, or they can celebrate with you and high five that you've built your barns in the right places. And that's what we really need to know, isn't it? Those treasuries you're building up, God's, and where you build those, here's what we're told. They can't be destroyed. It can't be torn down. And we need to know that about our lives. So we need to be a people that will share our hearts. And maybe, finally, we could be a light in our community when we finally get a hold on that monster called anxiety. So let me leave you with encouragement from our Lord Jesus just one more time this morning. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, let me start in behalf of our people in here, myself, and ask for forgiveness of where we have not believed your good love for us. Even those in here, the Lord, who have been converted for a while, have walked with you for a while, we still tend to fall back into anxiety because we're believing that which is causing us fear way too much. And we've missed many good things of the kingdom. And we've missed opportunities to share your glorious nature with others. But Lord, even in that, we are forgiven. Help us to believe that. So that we may leave here today emboldened to go share once again the greatness and goodness and steadfast love of who you are. So forgive us, Lord. And Father, I pray for those in this room who do not know you yet, but you know those whom you've called before time, and you have them sitting in this room hearing this message of your love. And the question for you, my friend, is, are you willing to come underneath his kingdom and his reign? Or do you still want to react out of fear in this life? Because freedom can be found in our God. And if that's you this morning, and maybe, or even if you're a little confused about that, a simple prayer in your heart is, the Lord, I know that I need your reign. Would you please show me how to come underneath you? And would you please remove this fear and forgive me for not believing that you can love me like this? And he will be faithful to that. So, Father, we thank you for your good word today. Help us to celebrate you in communion and to glorify you in all we say and do. And we pray that in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.